Friends, welcome to the Weekend Interview Show for July 9th, 2005. I'm your host, Scott Horton. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. My website is weekendinterviewshow.com. Keep all the archives for you there in MP3 format. Also, I write for antiwar.com. Go to antiwar.com/Horton, H-O-R-T-O-N. And I appreciate all the email I've been getting. I'm sorry that I can't respond to everybody because it really piles up. But keep them coming. If it's a good one, I'll respond. Scott@antiwar.com or Scott@weekendinterviewshow.com. We've got a great show lined up for you today. First up is Paul Craig Roberts. He's a former assistant secretary, treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan, and author of the book Tyranny of Good Intentions. He now writes for antiwar.com and lewrockwell.com, as well as counterpunch.org. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Scott.
It's very nice to have you on. I've been meaning to do this interview for quite some time. You have an article up on Counterpunch that calls the recent terror attack in Great Britain their blowback. Is that right?
Yes.
You know, actually, I guess before we get too far into that, I should go over what we know so far about the bombings in London 2 days ago. They're saying now that rather than taking place over the space of almost an hour, that the bombs on the trains went off almost simultaneously. They're saying now that they were set on timers. Some of the leaks are saying that they have found two undetonated bombs, complete. There was a quote in the Christian Science Monitor that had at least one witness on who got off the double-decker bus right before it exploded, who said he thought the bomber was still on the bus. He saw a suspicious-looking guy looking through his backpack right before he got off the bus, and that they're thinking that perhaps that one detonated prematurely. According to the local cops in England, they're still not even ruling out the IRA. They're still keeping all ideas open as to who this might be. But I guess at first glance, it seems like Al-Qaeda or some subset of Islamic terrorism, right?
Well, Scott, there was the claim by an Al-Qaeda group or a group that claimed to be a new Al-Qaeda group. I certainly agree that we don't know who did it. I had readers write to me and say that it was done by the Israelis, that it was Mossad, that it was done in order to take the heat off of Bush and Blair, trapped as they are in so much deceit. So some people think that, but of course they don't have any evidence for that, other than some sort of circumstantial evidence about Netanyahu, who apparently got advanced warning, or there's confusion about that report.
Right, he denies it now.
Yeah. And other people claim that it was the British government did it in order to refurbish the support for the war in Iraq. And you can make all these kinds of conclusions. I didn't exactly jump to conclusion. I went by the claim by the Al-Qaeda group. But there are now some questions that have been raised about that. So it's true, we don't know who did it, but we certainly shouldn't be surprised if it is a response to the British and American aggression in the Middle East.
Well, in terms of the Israelis doing it or the British doing it, I think I'm not ruling that out, because clearly they would do it if they thought they had to. Although, at this point, it sort of seems like the reaction of the people of Great Britain may be going the other way, that this maybe hasn't reinforced Blair's government, but made it even more precarious. And we'll talk more about the reaction of the London attacks with Paul Craig Roberts right after this. right, my friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with former Assistant Treasury Secretary Paul Craig Roberts from the Reagan administration. And we're talking about the attack in London that took place Thursday the 7th, and the reaction, or what may be the reaction. It's really too soon to say. It's only been a couple of days, but this could very well reflect badly on Blair's government. I mean, after all, if this is blowback and revenge for the Blair government's cooperation with our invasion of Iraq, then this could really reflect bad on him. I mean, here he's picked a fight for the British people, but he can't protect them.
Yes, that's true, and Bush has done the same thing.
You know, it still also remains to be seen, although it's interesting. I got to hand it to the British. I hope, you know, all our involvement in our imperial warfare with the British, if anything good comes of it at all, is that we'll at least, hopefully, a little bit of their honesty in reporting and in their reporters' willingness to challenge their leaders, hopefully a little bit of that will rub off on us, because
yes, we're in dire need of a media.
Yeah.
I don't know what's become of the American media. It's amazing. It's a total collapse. It's basically a propaganda organ for the White House and the Republicans. I've never seen such a total collapse in a media in a so-called free society. It is amazing. If you contrast it with previous periods, it's inexplicable. We literally do not have a responsible or a competent media in the United States.
Well, and you know, the really interesting thing about it to me is that pretty much the facts are there. I mean, a lot of times there's stuff in the British press that you can't find in the American press. But for the most part, the story's there. It's just the spin on it is so uniform throughout all the different places that you can reach the information. I mean, that's really the problem. You can pretty much get access to the facts, but if you expect for the newspaper to ever put it in any kind of order for you to come to a reasonable conclusion out of it, that's where you're really going to come to your problem.
I'm not sure you can get the facts in the United States, Scott. I mean, Americans can get them because of the Internet and a few programs such as yours. But look how long it was before there was any mention whatsoever of those leaked, top-secret British government memos which showed beyond any doubt that Bush had lied about the reasons for the war, that the war had actually started long before he said, and he had made up his mind long before he had told Congress. It was just one damning revelation after the other, and it was about 6 weeks, 2 months before they got any real notice here, and they never did get much notice, and nowhere near the notice that Monica Lewinsky's dress got.
Right.
Richard Nixon's tapes. So something is wrong. And I do think, and if you think back, look at Judith Miller, the New York Times reporter, who's now being a martyr because she won't rat on the source. This is an act. She's being a martyr to save her reputation. She was the one that the White House used to ramp up all the propaganda about the war. Now, how can a New York Times reporter be so sloppy to sit there and act as a pimp for the White House and just run with whatever press release they write for? I mean, that is an amazing development to find such a total failure in reporting at the New York Times. But I do think that we have a very serious problem with the integrity of the media. It may well be because of all the concentration. You know, there are no more really independent newspapers. They're part of chains, chains that own chains. And the whole thing, I think, comes down to about three owners. They may be run according to corporate advertising revenues, and they don't want to upset the government, who can yank all their broadcast licenses. But something is really wrong. That may be what it is, or it could just be reporters have decided that they've got to be patriotic and not question the war like they did during the Vietnam period, or maybe a combination of things.
Well, and that really is the same lesson learned over and over again, that it's patriotic to criticize your government when they're lying you into a war. It's unpatriotic to just go along with some politicians just because they wave a flag around.
Yeah, but so many of the American people don't understand that. And they confuse government with country. And they think being patriotic means to support the government no matter what it does.
And now you're no left-leaning pinko liberal type either. You were worked in the Treasury Department under Ronald Reagan, right? He's a pretty conservative guy, Mr. Roberts. Why aren't you on board with the GOP this time? Get a new appointment.
Truth isn't partisan. And once you try to simply defend one party or the other, or one ideological line or the other, you're useless.
Well, one of the things...
You have to respect... Truth is an independent force, and it has to be respected and defended. If it's not, you basically don't have anything.
Well, why do you think that so many conservatives are willing to go along with what the current government is doing? I mean, in the 1990s, I wouldn't say most, but at least a substantial proportion of the people on the right who dissented against Bill Clinton, they didn't just dissent against him, the personality. They were dissenting against his government, which had grown into this incredibly dangerous leviathan. And then as soon as a Republican's sitting in a chair, everything's fine. Do they all forget?
You know, I think it's a combination of things, guys. And the conservatives are raised up on the belief, some would say a myth, but on the belief that the Vietnam War was lost because of press criticism, protest by young people, and that we simply gave away a war that we had won, and that we mustn't do that again. We mustn't be critical of the government's war making activity. So that's one of the things for the conservatives. Another thing, which I have noticed, I noticed it particularly when I was still being carried on conservative sites like the Heritage Foundation's Town Hall. There is, I think they're creatures of right-wing talk radio, but there is now a brown shirt movement in America.
Ouch, a brown shirt movement.
Yes, they're brown shirt in the sense that they're ignorant, they're full of resentments, they listen to the right-wing crazies on the radio, tell them it's the liberals, it's the liberals, it's the liberals, and they're just totally intolerant. They have no idea who I am, but if I criticize the war, it means I'm a left-wing pinko commie, and I've been spending my former days with Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky. And you get all this wild, crazy stuff from basically illiterate young people. And they're full of hate. The hate just rolls off the words. And they have bugs that it was talking about. And there's a lot of those people out there. And I think they're creatures of the right-wing talk radio. I think the way was prepared for the right-wing talk radio by the liberals, who I think overplayed many of their hands and many of their claims and pushed too hard on many things, and it created opportunity for the talk radio crazies, and they've got this response from people who are full of resentments, hatreds, and...
Well, and these people are mostly passive receivers of information. And I get this email all the time. I, like you, write for antiwar.com, and I'm sure our email boxes are full of a lot of the same kind of stuff, particularly, like you said, even though you used to work for Ronald Reagan, you must be some pinko to them.
Yeah.
And these are people who, they know what they know from watching TV and listening to the radio. They don't read. They don't actively seek out. Hey, you know, I heard something strange about those aluminum tubes. I'm going to investigate and try to find out whether they were really for rockets or really for centrifuges. They're not doing that. They're sitting around waiting for Sean Hannity to tell them.
Right. Right. They sit and wait on Sean Hannity, Fox News, those types of people. But you know, Scott, I don't get much of that from antiwar.com.
No?
Or Counterpunch. Or no, it all came from the conservative postings.
Right.
Town Hall. The Washington Times. And I'm still considered to be a columnist, the Washington Times, but they don't dare publish anything I write. I think the editor would probably lose her job. So there is a sort of an ignorant, unthinking group out there. I don't know where, you know, I told you where I think they came from. And they support Bush. And it doesn't matter, whatever is said that's against Bush is a lie. It's a lie. The memo, the British government's top secret memos are forgeries done by the Pinko liberals. They did find the weapons. Everybody knows they found the weapons. Everybody knows that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. These people believe that still.
Right.
And that is why I call it the brown shirt movement, because the brown shirts were just sort of ignorant brutes that wanted to shout people down.
Right. You know, and the way you describe it, it's actually reminds me of a girl with an abusive boyfriend. You know, if you go try to defend her from him, she's going to jump on your back and protect him. You don't know him like I do. And it doesn't matter what evidence. All right, we'll be right back. We're talking with Paul Craig Roberts on the Weekend Interview Show. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Paul Craig Roberts. He's an assistant, former assistant secretary treasury. Boy, to strike that, reverse it, treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan. Got some class up here on the Weekend Interview Show. And when we went out to break, we were talking about how, as Bill Moyers says, the delusional is no longer marginal. And I believe, sir, that when we hit that commercial break, you were about to say something there.
Well, I was going to quote Moyers.
Oh, you were?
You know, Scott, the thing, you know, think about it. We don't know what this war is about. Why are we at war?
Well, which one?
We do know that every reason we've been given is false, and the president no longer claims any of the original first-tier reasons, second-tier reasons, third-tier reasons. Now it's something about we have to see it through.
Right, we're left with the Pottery Barn rule of Colin Powell's, right? We broke it for no good reason, but now we have to fix it.
Yeah, well, but you see, the longer we stay, the more broken it gets, and we can't fix it. And so why? What is this war about? Why are we getting two or three of our guys killed every day, and however many wounded, and however many Iraqis killed, most of them innocent civilians? I saw something about Chalmers Johnson the other day about how we have essentially destroyed the massive ancient collections of records, museums, sites in Iraq. We've actually built an air base over one of the most important archaeological sites.
Oh, no.
Why? What is this all about? I think that we need to press President and the Republican Party, tell us, what is this war about? Why are we doing this? Why are we spending $1 billion a week?
Well, now
we don't have. What is going on? What is the real agenda?
Well, now, that's really interesting, too, because, I mean, on one hand, you can just say, well, they had a great idea, but it turned out it was a really bad idea. But then, you know, there's a possibility that all this, this disaster that you describe really is part of the agenda, sowing, and I believe you've written this before, that sowing instability throughout the Middle East is our real objective there.
You see, that's also bin Laden's objective. And So does it mean we are his agent, that Bush is the partner with bin Laden? It's quite clear that the instability benefits bin Laden far more than it benefits us.
Also benefits because, Israel to a great deal, too, to have Iraq broken up, doesn't it?
It won't benefit Israel if the outcome is the demise of our puppets and an Islamic unity, Middle East. And that, of course, is bin Laden's goal, and it requires instability. So you could say that, you know, is Bush simply the dupe? Surely he wouldn't be the active agent.
Surely not. Well, and
whatever his agenda, who's winning?
Well, if I'm keeping score here on my card, I have Osama's winning, Iran is winning, because we all know Iran were the ones who sent Ahmad Shalabi with all of his lies. And Israel may or may not come out the winner. The United States is definitely coming out on the minus end of this column, I think.
Well, I'm just disturbed when we're at a war. We know we were deceived, and we continue to support the war despite being deceived and despite not knowing why we are fighting this war. No one knows why. I can't find out why. We can only speculate. But it's an astonishing thing that, the American public has turned against the war, but still, a bare majority thinks that we can't cut and run. Then it's the Vietnam syndrome and all. But why can't we cut and run? They don't know what it is we're fighting for. Why are we in this war? What is the agenda? The president has never been truthful with the public to tell us, nor has he been truthful with the troops or the military or our allies or the UN or anybody. What is this war about? I think this is the first time in history the United States has been in a war and has got the slightest idea what the war is about. Why is it at war?
Well, you know, the real thing is there's a bunch of little reasons, none of which are really good enough to have a war, but all of which sort of come together.
Yeah, but they're ex post facto reasons. It's the reason they come up with when the first set of reasons are shown to be lies and deceptions.
Well, I think the simplest one is that Bush Jr. still believes the lie that Saddam Hussein tried to assassinate his wife and father in 1993.
So what? The President of the United States has no power, no right. He should be impeached if that's why we're in war. It means he is guilty of high treason. He has used the power of the presidency for personal reasons. He should be impeached. This is the act of a traitor. It's not the reason Americans should support a war.
All right, everybody, it's the Weekend Interview Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. He writes for antiwar.com, lewrockwell.com, and counterpunch.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. And we were talking about why we fight, and the answer was, well, nobody really knows. But so now the question, why do they fight? Who is it that we're up against? What is this thing called Al-Qaeda? A name is thrown around pretty loosely. Who exactly is Al-Qaeda, and what are they fighting for?
Well, first, let me say that I don't think that that's the majority of the fighters in Iraq. Al-Qaeda is the organization associated with Osama bin Laden, who was formerly one of our people fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. He was highly successful. He is an Islamicist. He believes in Islam. He believes that Muslims have a right to their own lands and to their own culture and not to be lorded over by some hegemonic Western power. And So his support is very strong in the Muslim world. We think of him as a terrorist, but I don't think he's thought of that way. He's thought of as a leader to bring back Muslim unity.
So his tactics are sort of fringe tactics, but his opinions are not on the fringe at all in the Middle East, you don't think?
No, they're not. And you see, I suppose the Soviets called him a terrorist, but essentially they were guerrilla fighters who with our Stinger missiles, drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan. It was the first defeat of the Red Army. So I think what he objects to, and the people who support him object to, is the Middle East is ruled by American puppets. We have a puppet sitting on the throne in Egypt, in Jordan, in Pakistan. The general there, we put him there. Our money keeps him there. The Saudis are essentially American puppets. And he feels that this is sort of degrading. I mean, he must feel like George Washington and the Patriots here, who were under the thumb of the British. So he wants us out.
Wow, is that a fair comparison, Osama bin Laden to George Washington, Mr. Roberts?
I'm saying how he sees it, how they see it. What do you mean a fair comparison? I mean, what you mean I'm supposed to denounce him because he killed some Americans? The English put up with us, even though we killed a lot of British, drove them out. I think that what I'm trying to do is answer your question, which was how he is perceived. I mean, no one's turned him in. There's $25 million reward on him, right?
Right.
No one's turned him in. Whoever did would go down in infamy as the worst Muslim that ever lived.
There's an article today up on antiwar.com. It's an interview of Robert Pape by Scott McConnell. And Robert Pape has written this new book about suicide bombing. And, in fact, I saw him on the Bill O'Reilly Factor last night. And he came across, I should say, a little bit hawkish about, you know, how these people need to be dealt with or that kind of thing. The book is called Dying to Win. But it was just funny to see when they finally got to the real point. This was the real point. All these suicide bombers, every suicide bomber, are the product of occupation, period. They are not, their motivation is not 74 virgins. Their motivation is getting foreign foot soldiers off of their soil, period. And that every single one of the hijackers on September 11th, for example, were from countries whose governments are controlled by us. They weren't Iraqi and Iranian and Syrian. They were from Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Yemen.
Yes, that's right.
And Bill O'Reilly's answer to this was, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's all our fault.
Who cares about
blah,
Bill
blah.
O'Reilly? I mean, he's useless. I mean, the man devoid of any integrity. I'm not interested in Bill O'Reilly, but we were talking about the suicide bombers. And, you know, actually, I think it was a Palestinian response to the Israelis. And because, you know, they really have no army, no weapons. And the Israelis have all of our tanks, our missiles, our F-16s, our helicopter gunships, all of our GPS, laser technology. And I think the suicide bombing is a Palestinian response to the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And it no doubt has spread. It's an effective weapon. And it's spread into Iraq. But the people fighting in Iraq, I think, are primarily Sunnis. And their motives and purposes are probably different from Al-Qaeda's. And I would imagine the Al-Qaeda contingent in Iraq is relatively small. But these are, I don't know, we don't know who we're fighting. That's another, we not only do not know why we're fighting, but we don't know who we're fighting. And the American military and the intelligence can't really even tell who we're fighting. You know, originally it was a few hundred diehards. Then it was foreign fighters. It appears that it's mainly the Sunnis.
Well, one thing is certain. The number of suicide bombings in Iraq before 2003?
Zero.
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 Absolutely none.
I think all we've done is to create a training ground. In fact, the CIA has issued a report that the main achievement of the American invasion of Iraq is to turn the country into a training ground for terrorists, a training ground for insurgency, for fourth-generation warfare training. These people get more and more sophisticated and harder to defeat. And so it seems to me that what we're doing is creating for ourselves massive new problems. If the response to the insurgency and to the London bombing is for us to get more brutal, then it will produce more blowback, more recruits, more instability. It's going to get too hot in the Middle East to be associated with the United States. I don't know what will happen to our Egyptian and Pakistani and Jordanian puppets, but it's going to get too hot for them. And so we are undoing ourselves. You see, the notion that we're a superpower is now exposed. The all available forces, all available military forces of the United States government and Great Britain cannot occupy Baghdad. They cannot control the road to the airport. No matter how brutal, they level Fallujah. Whatever they do, they have no control in the country. They have retreated behind, in fortresses, behind barriers. When they go out, they get blown up. So this is a devastating. Not only that, the war is very expensive. We have massive deficits without the war. Who are our bankers? The Asians. China. China is our banker. China holds enough United States government bonds that if they wanted to, they could drive the dollar to zero and interest rates to infinity just by dumping their holdings. So what kind of superpower are you when you put yourself totally in the hands of your Chinese bankers? And that's not to include the Japanese bankers and the Korean bankers, the Taiwanese bankers. You see what I'm saying?
Sure, and they're not going to loan us any more for the next war.
They may. I, you know, how do you know this isn't a Chinese strategy? Hey, we'll lend them all the money they want. They're destroying themselves,
huh?
And they get more and more in our power.
Fair enough.
Every another $100 billion we got is a club over their heads. I mean, this is not building the country. This is madness. This is an act of insanity. What is going on is an act of insanity. We have no more control over our currency, our interest rates. The minute the Asians decide, they can do whatever they want. How far will they let it go? They'll let it go as far as it serves their purpose.
Does it make you optimistic at all when in this speech a couple of weeks ago, Bush for the first time differentiated, in fact, I think even a few times in the speech, he differentiated between a terrorist in Iraq and an insurgent in Iraq? Perhaps signaling that maybe an insurgent can be negotiated with? Any optimism out of you on that at all?
No. I think all that is just an indication that his government knows we cannot win. In fact, a recent article of mine, I quoted several of the top generals and other people saying, this cannot be settled with military force. We cannot win against insurgents militarily. We're going to have to negotiate with them. We're going to have to make a deal. Now, so he may have simply been preparing the ground for this sort of result, having blustered and talked about how we were going to defeat them and kill them all and blah, blah, blah. So, but you see, once these kinds of things start, there are many groups that have no interest in it winding down. I doubt Al-Qaeda wants this to be settled. They have us where they want us. We're doing what they want. We're destabilizing our own allies in the Middle East. We're creating hatred of America and hatred of those who support America. They don't want this to stop. The Sunnis might be willing to for, you know, some disproportionate share of the power. But there are now other elements there with who are inciting it and have no interest in this stopping. And we'd like to see it spread. I'm absolutely certain bin Laden would love it if we invaded Syria and Iran.
Sure. Michael Scheuer, the former head of the bin Laden unit at the CIA, has said that the invasion of Iraq was a hoped-for but unexpected gift to bin Laden.
Right.
There was nothing that we could have done more in his interest.
Right. And that's why I say that I doubt that the al-Qaeda part of the insurgency would want to see it over. They don't want to see it over.
And, Mr. Roberts, I think this is a point perhaps worth belaboring here. Before September 11th, bin Laden and Zawahiri and a few of the others had said quite openly that they considered that the United States to already be at war with them through our proxy governments over there and through Israel, and that since we were already at war with them, what they were going to do is they were going to slap us in the face so hard that we would lash out and come over to their sand trap where our guys are within rifle range. And they called it literally Operation Bleed America Dry. How do you get America out of the Middle East? You bring them to the Middle East to suffer total defeat.
Yeah,
and then they'll
finally
go home.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying. And before this whole war started, I said this would be a strategic blunder of historic proportions. It will destroy Bush. It will destroy the Republican Party, and it will destroy the conservative movement. And I think that will be the outcome.
Boy, you talk about China and their financing of this war. I saw there's a poll out, a new poll that says that worldwide, people have a higher opinion of communist China than they have of the United States right now.
Yes. Yes, that should tell the macho, flag-waving, kick-their-butts patriots what's really happening to his country and who is doing it. And it's not the pinko liberals. It's George Bush.
It's sometimes hard to see from the inside. It really is. You know, if you wake up in the morning and look out your window, the grass is green, the birds are singing, and everything's fine. So if you're not actively seeking information about what's gone wrong, you might just be able to continue going to work every day and not even notice.
Well, I do think the American people are the most attached of all the peoples. And it probably comes from the accumulated success and material wealth. And they are far too detached for their own good. But they are suffering now tremendous defeats and tremendous failures. Isolation, diplomatic isolation, as you said. The fact that more people have a higher opinion of China than of the United States, that's a very telling. It shows the complete collapse in our soft power and our moral leadership, everything that made us great. See, our power has never been just the army or the military or the economy. It was the fact that people went along with us because they respected us. They thought that we were acting out of good motives and trying to do the right thing. And so people look to us for leadership for those reasons.
And they no longer believe that.
They don't believe that. And who wrecked that? It was George Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Pearl, Wolfowitz, Fife, Bolton. These people are criminals. They have done more damage to the United States than all of our enemies. In fact, you could almost say they are our enemies.
Have you ever considered running for the House of Representatives?
No. No.
Why not? You have the credentials.
No. Look, you know, the United States government is so large. An elected representative is essentially powerless. He's got no power compared to the executive bureaucracy.
It's true. But
no power compared to the interest groups that can elect him or defeat him.
Well, Mr. Roberts, if there's a way for the American people to turn this government around before it drives us all off a cliff, the House of Representatives is the only way to do it. They have the power of the purse. That's the only way to do it, is through the House. What are we going to do, elect a libertarian to be the president?
I don't think. I don't know what's going to happen, Scott, but I do think that we're in a pickle. We haven't the leadership to get out of it. And so more people are going to lose their kids' lives and limbs in Iraq, and who knows where else. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that that Richard Perle and these neocons were pushing to invade Iran and Syria. They weren't content with Iraq. It may be now that we are stymied, we're in a quagmire. We're in two quagmires because you may have noticed that in Afghanistan, the Taliban are making a comeback, as is Al-Qaeda. They wiped out some 20-something of our special forces the other day. Things that aren't supposed to happen are happening again in Afghanistan. The British have announced that they want to take their troops out of Iraq and put them in Afghanistan to help quell the return of the insurgency there. In other words, we're in two quagmires. There are no troops to deal with it.
Right. And in fact, Bush even told Blair, no, you can't do that, because if you leave Iraq, it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. You're the only thing holding it together down there in Basra. Please don't go.
Right. And so they're sacrificing Afghanistan. Afghanistan is going. Not that they could do anything about it anyhow. I mean, but what really happened was the winter came in and they quit fighting.
Right. Yeah, the Russians occupied Kabul for almost 10 years. They still lost.
Right.
All right, everybody. We're talking with Paul Craig Roberts. He's a former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. We'll be right back, wrap up a little bit about the neoconservatives, I think. It's the Weekend Interview Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
My friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Paul Craig Roberts. He's a former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan, author of the book The Tyranny of Good Intentions. He writes for antiwar.com, lewrockwell.com, and counterpunch.org. And, sir, a couple of times you brought up there in that last little conversation, former Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz and former Director, I believe, of the Defense Policy Board, Richard Perle. And you've written quite a bit about these men and called them the Neo-Jacobins. What does that mean, Mr. Roberts, the Neo-Jacobins?
Okay, the Jacobins were the French Revolution. You know, the French Revolution came about a decade after the American one, and unlike the American one, was extremely bloody against its own people. And was an ideological revolution with universalist claims. They tried to impose the new French society on all of Europe, and that resulted in the Napoleonic Wars that went on for a quarter of a century. The Jacobins, France, believed that they had a monopoly on virtue, on truth, and they had the right to impose their system on the rest of Europe. And that is the mentality of the American neoconservatives. Neoconservatives are not conservatives. They have, in fact, destroyed the conservative movement in the United States. They systematically have isolated and destroyed individual conservatives, both in academia and the media. It's like a bunch of assassins. They don't physically kill you, but they eliminate you from your support system. But these people are outside the American tradition. They are in the French tradition. Many of them came out of the Trotskyist tradition, which also had universalist claims to impose the Soviet system worldwide, whereas Stalin said no socialism in one country.
So
these people are unreal. They're unreal. They're totally ideological. They don't believe in reality. They say we make our own reality. They have this sort of crazy idea that their will can prevail over reality, kind of like Hitler marching off into Russia in the middle of the winter. That's the sort of crazy stuff that they do.
Well, and they also make everybody Hitler, and they imagine themselves as FDR going to heroically save the day.
They are the Hitler. Because they believe the end justifies the means. They believe that. That is not an American belief. It cannot be found anywhere in the Founding Fathers. They don't think the Constitution is important. If it's in their way, get rid of it. If civil liberties are in their way, get rid of it. If allies are in their way, get rid of it. If international treaties are in the way, get rid of it. The hell with the UN. The hell with the Nuremberg Standard. We don't care of what international law says. We are above it. We. They're full of hubris. They're very dangerous people.
It's very puzzling, though, how is it strictly just the red, white, and blue militarism that provides for the rest of the conservatives to accept these people? It seems like they're the ones who would have been driven out of conservatism, not the other way around.
I think it is the wave the flag stuff response to this. Finally hit somebody standing up for America.
Right.
And that's what sucks them all in. And it's a very serious situation. You see, and these people are responsible. They're the ones who concocted the lies, orchestrated all the false stuff against Iraq, and they got promoted. Wolfowitz is now head of the World Bank. He has no qualifications to be at the World Bank. He knows nothing about it.
We're all out of time, Mr. Roberts. I sure appreciate your time today, everybody. Paul Craig Roberts writes for antiwar.com and lewrockwell.com. Look him up. We'll be right back.